God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message called Lest We Forget. It's my joy to welcome you on behalf of Dr. Don Wilton to this time of Bible study. Again, his message is called Lest We Forget Why People Die and Nations Crumble. There are opportunities to look in the world we live and go, oh my goodness, it's a dark day. But oh, there are good times ahead, good opportunities for us to have a Christ-like influence in our small corner of God's vineyard, as Dr. Don would say. And you'll gain those tools today through the teaching of Dr. Don Wilton. While we do so, know that we'd love to connect with you, love to pray for you, pray with you. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm praying today for people just like me, we the people. I'm about to share with you something that's going to really run deep. The colors of the United States run deep, but nothing like the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. You're going to need your Bibles. I want to give you a minute to find Daniel chapter 5. I've received a lot of questions during this series. What would God say to America today? If God was standing in this pulpit, what would He have to say to us? I've entitled this message today, Lest We Forget. I have a subtitle, which is neither here nor there, but Why People Die and Nations Crumble. Yep, we're going to talk quite a bit about a people for whom we could never express adequate gratitude. We couldn't say thank you enough. When these servicemen came up here a minute ago, it's hard for me. I get so choked up when I look and I see men and women saluting here in our congregation, and one thinks of the sacrifices that have been made. When you think of where we've come from, and this Bible is a story. It's His story. It's the story about God and how God relates with and to people like you and me. And interwoven in the story is the most incredible life lesson. And in Daniel chapter 5, God tells us something. Now, folks, I'm going to say a lot of things in a short space of time. People want to know about end times. They want to know about America. I have people ask me all the time, how does America fit into God's scheme of things? I've even had questions, is America in the Bible? And what would God say to us today? I just want you to know that at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, there's a nation, a city called Babylon. And Babylon is singled out as the city that God uses to illustrate a nation that once was very great and very mighty, and yet at the end of the book, they are the very anti-Christ. They are the opposite of all that God is. And God's ultimate judgment is reserved for Babylon. And Babylon, according to this story, was a mighty power. They were a world power. Everything revolved around them. When you get to the end of the Bible, they crumbled. They were so far from the heart of God. People rose up and made a determination that they were more important than God. They became the we the people of mighty valor. They became the solution to their own salvation. They became the center of their own universe. And in Daniel chapter 5, and I'm in the whole chapter for just a moment. This is a blitz, lest we forget. Daniel chapter 5 is the story about a king by the name of Belshazzar, a mighty king. He ruled his people. And it's a story about how leaders can lead a nation to destruction. And it's the story about a people who agreed. They just followed. And what happened was, in all likelihood, Belshazzar was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon was thriving. And Nebuchadnezzar disobeyed God. And he began to think of himself more highly than God. And God said, "You're not going to get away with it. You can call a convention and you can vote to become immoral, but I'm not going to let you get away with it. You are not going to defy the law of God. No matter how popular it might be, you are not going to defy me." And this chapter here tells the story of Nebuchadnezzar, who was brought down to size. And what God says was, as soon as Nebuchadnezzar determined that he was more important than God, God gave him over to the mind of an animal. His behavior began to reflect the behavior of an animal. And what happened in Daniel chapter 5 is that God reminds us that there was only one condition by which God restored Nebuchadnezzar and his people, and that was that he would humble himself. You see, verse 23 tells us that he had lifted up himself against the Lord of heaven. I want you to see verse 23. "You have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven." And when Belshazzar took over the rulership of Babylon, he just let it go. He said unashamedly and unapologetically, "We are going to give ourselves over to revelry, debauchery. We're going to support everything that contradicts the word of God. We're going to make it our business." And the story beginning at verse 1, King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of the 1,000. That shows a picture of the leadership syndrome that leads a people who follow down a road to destruction. And in the middle of all of this revelry, in verse 5, immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And when the king saw this hand, the Bible says in verse 6, that his color changed and his thoughts alarmed him and his limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. Now we're also going to discover that evidently it didn't help him very much. You can get as nervous as you want to when God speaks, but unless you do what God says, it doesn't amount to anything. You can respect God. You can go to church. You can say you're a nation under God. You can hold to the precepts of God, but unless you do what God says, it does not matter. God will take you out. And so we know the story here. That's why this is written in the book of Daniel, because Belshazzar went and he found all his magicians. He consulted with his Congress, and none of them had a solution either. He called in the mayors of the city and the astrologers and the wise men and the people who had all the money to support all the campaigns. He called in all the pacts and all those who had a lot to say and the people of influence. And the Bible tells us that Belshazzar said, "Somebody out there, give me advice. Let's get the people, because we are the people, by the people. People, tell us what the solution is. What is this going on?" Now, they couldn't do it. And the queen came to the king and said, "There's a man by the name of Daniel. He's a godly man. He's a preacher boy. Let him come." So beginning at verse 13, Daniel was brought in before the king. And this man of God stood there before the king, and if you'll beg my pardon, he laid the smack down. In fact, the king even said to him, "Listen, son, I tell you what. You tell me what this is, I'll buy you that yacht you've always dreamed about. I'll set you up in high places. I'll give you a membership to Augusta National. I'll make life real pretty. And you know what Daniel did? He said, listen, man, you can keep all that stuff. In fact, when I start telling you the truth of God's word, you're not going to like me one bit. And he began to interpret this dream. And the interpretation here is very clear in this passage of Scripture. Beginning at verse 25, this is the writing that was inscribed, meeny, meeny, tekel, parson. This interpretation means God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command. Daniel was clothed with purple and chain of gold around his neck. Proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But that very night, Belshazzar was killed by the Chaldeans, by Darius the Mede, who took over his kingdom that very same night.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton and this wonderful message, Lest We Forget. We'll be back in just a moment to be reminded of the reality that though we perhaps have forgotten, we can turn the corner today. We can make this a new beginning. Maybe you need that new beginning in your own life. And one of the tools that we love to use here at The Encouraging Word is a time in God's Word. If you haven't signed up for it, you can get the free email from Dr. Wilton every single day by visiting our website at theencouragingword.org or just text the word DAILY to 30500. That's DAILY, one word, DAILY, texted to 30500. We'll send you a quick link, and by this time tomorrow, you'll receive that DAILY Encouraging Word. Now, in just a few minutes, Dr. Wilton's going to ask perhaps the most important question that he'll ask all day today, and that's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. But you don't need to wait. If you'd like to talk with us, we're taking calls right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now back to today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Right off to Pearl Harbor, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of my heroes, love reading great biographies. He said this right in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor. Quote, those who long enjoy such privileges as we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them. Our nation is at the crossroads, ladies and gentlemen. Lest we forget, history repeats itself. Consider Babylon. Began small, given by God, established with a purpose, grew to become the most powerful nation in the world, and died a pitiful death. They were taken over by foreigners. They were run out of town. They were handed over to the radicals. What do you suppose it was that they forgot? In this story, is it possible to find what God is saying, lest we forget? Number one, they failed to remember that God had established them as a nation. That's pretty evident when you read the whole saga of Babylon. But verse 18 reminds us of that. God's word says very clearly, O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kinship and greatness and glory and majesty. Belshazzar evidently soon forgot the valuable lessons of the past. Doesn't help to just once a year memorialize the blood of the patriots if we don't do what they died for. Pride reared its ugly head in Belshazzar and among the peoples of the Babylonians. Verse 22 tells us unequivocally concerning this king, you have lifted yourself against the Lord of heaven. Just as a matter of interest, what makes America unique, my friends? Have you ever pondered that question? What makes us unique among the nations? Well, go and do a little research. Let's just keep it to the Americas, our wonderful friends, the Canadians. Do you know why Canada was founded? Canada essentially was founded by a group of French explorers who came essentially looking for gold. It was founded for the purpose of finding treasure. Well, let's go south of the border, shall we? Let's go to Mexico. Why was Mexico founded? Mexico was founded by Spanish explorers who essentially came looking for gold. They were looking for treasure. So why was America founded? America was founded by a group of men and women who came looking for God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They came here with only one purpose in mind, and that is to establish a place where they could worship the Lord Jesus in freedom and lift high his name. The gold that was found in America, which rendered this nation so great, was as a consequence of their founding principle. God rewarded those people, I'm convinced, and he still is, despite ourselves. And you can find this reflected in one charter after another across the colonies. Just go and do your homework. If you look at the charter, for example, of Rhode Island in 1683, their charter states, and I quote, "We submit our persons, our lives, our estates unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and to all those perfect and absolute laws given to us in and through his holy word." That's Rhode Island. Well, just drop down a little, go to Connecticut. Beautiful state. I've been there many times. One town in Connecticut is my favorite. It's called Wilton, Connecticut. It's my favorite town in Connecticut. I've even got a cap that says Wilton. I got a picture of me standing outside the Wilton Baptist Church. It suits my personality. You go to the Charter of Connecticut, what do you read? That it was formed by a pious, listen to this, it was formed for the further proclamation, sorry, I'm reading the wrong one, to preserve the purity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Connecticut. In its original charter, formed to preserve the purity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maryland was formed by a pious zeal to extend the Christian gospel. Delaware was formed for the further propagation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read something this past week in which one of my friends posed the question, what if Washington, D.C. became the next state? If we somehow decided to give D.C. statehood, what would their charter read today? Can I make a suggestion? This could be D.C.'s charter today. We hereby set ourselves to honor and serve ourselves because we ourselves are to be worshipped and honored as God, for there is none like unto us. Why did Babylon collapse? Well, they failed to remember that God established them as a nation. There was something else they failed to do. They failed to remember that the devil is just outside the door. Do you know that in this passage, that King Belshazzar called a party, and the Medes and the Persians were camped outside the gates of the city? Now, how stupid is that? It's we've got nothing to worry about syndrome. Nobody could ever touch us. Maybe here's what the Babylonians thought. Number one, that they were big and mighty. Number two, that they were invincible and indestructible. Maybe they thought sincerely that they were secure and untouchable. Yep, America. We as a nation have led the world. We've won many wars and saved many other nations from disaster. We send more aid to help more people around the world than anybody combined, more disaster relief than any others. But the Bible tells us that the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Belshazzar thought he could just party his troubles away. He became intoxicated by his own sense of self-worth. He became satisfied by his own lust for life. He became blinded by his own treasure chest. He became completely bamboozled by his own comfort zones and his own position of dictatorial power. He became the victim of his own interpretation of taking the fifth, believing honestly that he could say anything that he wanted without fear of legal ramification, that he could make utterances and decrees without being held accountable to the laws of God, And God showed up and said to him, you have been weighed in the balance, and your days are numbered. There's something else that they forgot. Lest we forget, they failed to remember that freedom is not a license for immoral behavior. Never forget many years ago, being in a very, very remote part of northern Mongolia and into inner China, I was in a place where the gospel was not allowed, where the church is persecuted. And everywhere I went, they had one TV channel on their meager television sets, and it came out of America. And that one channel was MTV. We the people, look at us. The Babylonians were so blinded by their refusal to see the hand of God that they could not see the relationship between their moral decay and their national decline. Their moral decline led to their spiritual decline, and their spiritual decline led to their moral decline, because moral depravity invariably leads to spiritual depravity, and spiritual depravity invariably leads to moral depravity. That's why God is who He is. That's why Jesus said, "Remember this until I come." That's why He pointed to His death. He said, if you don't remember me, you're dead, because you've got no life, you've got no moral compass, you've got no standard, you've got no forgiveness, you've got no hope. That's why I want to invite you to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We the people, one nation under God. I am an American and proud to be, but I am a Christian man. And I cry out to God for this beloved country that's adopted me as a son, that God would reach down and He would do something that we cannot do for ourselves in this beautiful land of ours. But number four, and I'll close with this, they failed to remember that God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. Babylon was now in full crumble mode. It was a downward spiral. You can go and trace it. They became proud and arrogant. They ignored the enemy. They lost their self-respect. They followed an ungodly leader. They lost their moral compass. They disrespected their spiritual roots, and they began to openly and unashamedly challenge the face of God. And so the end was announced. And when the end was announced, three things happened. Number one, verse 5 says, God spoke. Verse 6 says, the king became frightened. And verse 13 says God's man showed up. It's interesting, when God's man showed up in the midst of the revelry and the debauchery, what God said. Yes, this is the job of everyone who claims to know Jesus Christ, and the job of every preacher. Yes, this is the unpopular sound that rings across the hallways of our hallowed institutions in this nation that we love. But God will not be mocked. Thus saith the Lord. What was Daniel's sermon? He had a great three-point sermon. Verse 18, all power comes from God. Any further questions? All power comes from God. Second point of Daniel's sermon, verse 20, God punishes arrogance and pride. The third point in verse 21 and verse 22, God requires absolute repentance. Doesn't require us to turn over a new leaf or to pass a new resolution. He requires repentance, that we come before Him and we cry out to Him and we confess our sin. We trust Him. If we haven't trusted Him, we've got to put our faith in Him. Turn our lives over to Him. I want you to do what you need to do. Cry out to God. Give your life to Christ. Receive Him as your Savior and your Lord. I call upon you as American citizens to rise up, to take your stand. Join great men of faith like Martin Luther, who stood upon the Word of God and said, "Here I stand." I call upon you to be unpopular. I call upon you to not get an invitation, because you would be an unwelcome presence in that group. I call upon you to be mocked for the stand that you take for righteousness and for holiness. I call upon the leaders of our nation to consider what they're doing. I call upon people all over this nation to rise up and to love all people. There is no sin that is worse than any other sin, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I are not going to solve a problem by pointing fingers and becoming judgmental. We're not going to solve the problem of this nation by isolating sins and singling them out, when God has made it clear that we are a sinful people who are in need of Him. That's why all people are welcome in this church. There are no exceptions. That's why we're living in a day and age today where it's becoming increasingly unpopular in churches to preach and to proclaim the word of the living God. People are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to get feel me good and little ditties and wonderful stories and fables, and everything has to be dished up the way we like it. But God doesn't give me what I like. He gives me what I need. God does it. I'm so thankful to the Lord for you. So thankful to the Lord for this church. I'm so thankful for the stand. I'm so thankful to the scores of moms and dads who are loving their children. No matter, your children are going to let you down. They're going to sin. Keep loving them. When your child takes a detour, don't turf them out. Embrace them. Forgive them. Teach them. Get alongside. Every sinner encountered Jesus. He sat down with them. And then Paul reminded us he was the chief of sinners. So where does that leave you? Where does that leave me? That's the hope of the world. It's in Christ. And folks, I'm an eternal optimist. I believe that our best days are ahead of us. I believe God is just challenging us afresh. He's just calling us back to where we need to be. We need to go back to Bethel, back to the place of our commitment. We need to go back to where the fire is, folks.
And the great joy is the fire is pursuing you. God is using this radio station and this broadcast with Dr. Don Wilton to let you know that He loves you. He wants to reignite a fire in your life, or perhaps for the very first time, save you even from yourself. Lord Jesus, I pray for those that even right now just need to admit, like I did, like Dr. Don did, that we are sinners and our sin separates us from You. Lord, I pray for friends right now who are confessing that and are proclaiming, Jesus, You are Lord. I believe You died on the cross of Calvary. So save me. Take my sin and wash it away. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.